Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app, see?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I am your host, Teron Davenport, bringing you a road edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It is Tuesday morning, and we, as promised, have to talk about Jordan Matthews and Carson Wentz, that last play that they got together on, and it fell incomplete. From the 17-yard line, there was an opportunity to score the go-ahead victory. So what I want to do is go ahead and bring you the interview that Jordan Matthews gave the media after the game on Sunday. And, man, it was a tough game. Obviously, you guys know the outcome. But check out the interview here.
Side, good placement. I just got to locate it, find it, bring it in pretty much. That's the...
That's really it.
Yeah.
What is the route on that?
Soft eight. We don't want to, I guess, position like that. They're going a bunch of cover zero. I want to keep my eyes, you know, looking at the quarterback. Corner ball, you kind of put your back to him for a second. So we're trying to soft eight. You know, got to come with it.
So it's a situation where you won't turn if you get, like,
inside leverage? No, this is what you actually kind of want.
Yeah.
Inside leverage, just go attack the corner, get past him, and then, you know, get with. Locate the ball.
Coach said it was thrown outside, though. Would you?
No, I'm not going to. No, it's on me. That's the. We're not going to get into all that. If it's four down and the game's online and 11 picks me, I got to go get the ball. So that's just always been my mindset, and that's the way I feel. He hits me on those plays all the time. He actually hit me on that pass earlier in the game, too. So, you know, 11 knows where to put the ball. I just got to go find it.
What was the difference in more big plays down the field?
The emphasis, I mean, you know, Coach Peterson called a very, very aggressive game, you know, and we were able to go out and, you know, get some plays down the field. Like I said, it's not that we aren't capable of doing it, you know what I'm saying, but at the same time, we have to go out there and show him that we can do it, not just, you know, in practice, but come out here in games, do it early. That's why I think it was so good that Bryce was able to get us going and then say, hey, you know, we got the confidence to go out there and make these plays. And then that instills confidence in Carson and in Coach Peterson to keep calling those plays, keep dialing them up.
The defense gets the ball on the
34-yard line. Yeah, we got to win. I mean, we got to win. You know, we've been in these situations, you know, and a couple games now. And so it's time for us to start winning these ball games. The game doesn't change, you know, whether it's 2 minutes left down by six or if it's the first quarter. If we got to start winning these games, that's on everybody. Top to bottom.
How would you describe this team situation now? 0-3 division, 4-4 overall, your last place in the division. How would you describe where you guys are at as a...
You know, I definitely don't think that we're down and out. I don't see guys holding their heads. That's the biggest thing. Obviously, you know, Coach Peterson was with Kansas City last year, and he taught us about their turnaround, going from 1-5 to winning 11 straight. And Malcolm huddled up everybody, just kind of just gave us the truth. Like, guys, nobody's coming out here and just beating us down. Like, we are beating ourselves. You can't do that in football games. It's hard to win the National Football League. So it's one thing. We're just coming out here and just getting, you know, beat down and not having a chance. But we're in every single game. So it's like, guys, it's high time we start finishing them. Like I said, that's on everybody. That's offense, taking care of the ball, and making sure late in games we're making the same plays as we do early on in games. And then, you know, I really can't speak on any of the other teams. I know special teams have been doing well. I know defense has played amazing. We put them into bad positions early on. We just got to clean all that stuff up, man, just really start winning some of these games.
There was another throw to you in the end zone in the first half. It seemed like the D-back came
last second. Yeah, last second, too.
You know, what could have been done differently there?
I don't think anything could have been done. He's made a great play. I mean, we run that seam play. I mean, Carson always puts that online. It's not a ball that you want to put in the back of the end zone or high, because when it comes open, it's like right here on the back shoulder, and then you just walk in. And the DB made just a great play. I mean, he really got it by his fingernails. So like I said, that's one of those plays where they got us on that one.
That being said, the red zone, you guys are 2-6 down there. Yeah, what are some of the issues with not getting the end zone there?
I got to really go back and watch it, you know, but like I said, I even take that upon myself. Like, I know we get down there, that's got to be our territory, and that's got to be a place where I win. So we're going to go back, watch the film, assess it, and then figure out ways to actually get better down there. Like I said, I'm one of the guys that starts with two, so we just got to improve there.
You come into the season a new quarterback, and there's not really any film on him in the NFL. So now half a season. So how do you kind of adjust to team sort of knowing a little bit more what he and the offense are about?
I mean, I think at this point it's execution. I mean, it's not like we're going to Putis have just figured us out and we're not moving the ball. Like, we're moving the ball, having successful drives. We're getting in the red zone, and we're putting ourselves in a position to win. You know, Carson is playing well, and he's played great, you know, these games. He had a rough start today, but then he picked it up. It was like it never even happened. He was able to just pick it up, keep going, and put us in a position to win. So, like I said, it really comes down to execution. We got to just tighten up. You know, I feel like we're doing better on the penalties. That's one thing that we had to eliminate. We're doing better there. Taking care of the ball and then finishing these games.
Are these late game situations growing pains for a young offense, or is there a trend here building?
I don't like to make excuses. You know, young, old, whatever, we got to win. So, like I said, it's just the execution has to be a lot better. I think, you know, we talk a lot about third down. That's definitely a down that we got to get better at. But then just in those late downs, those first and seconds are huge. Like, we can't be putting ourselves in third and long and then in those situations. You know what I'm saying? So that's one area where I feel like we definitely all got to get better. Third down's always been a point of emphasis. Some of those early downs when we're in four down territory and we know that we're going to use four downs, we as an offense just have to get better and put ourselves in a better position. Because defense is playing outstanding. I mean, Hicks made a great play, put us in a position to win. So, yeah, it's definitely frustrating, but it's not. I'm not going to say it's growing pains. That's not anything I want to put out there, because then you start speaking it, and then you start using that as an excuse, and we're not going to start doing that.
Jordan, can you describe what happened?
Yeah, I haven't been asked it yet. but it was a slot fade. Attack, got on 31's toes and kind of just got around him. Carson put it in the outside shoulder, so I just got to locate it, find it, bring it in, make the play. That's pretty much it.
Is that similar to the concept that you guys used the first game of the season on that touchdown?
Yeah, very similar, very similar. The exact same, pretty much play, just some call different. So,
did you feel like you needed to get more width on that one?
I feel like in that situation, I just got to look earlier. It's cover zero,
right.
So I don't have as much time to really attack the guy and then get past him and then look. It's got to be kind of get on his toes, beat him, look early, and then locate the ball. So that's why I said it's more on me, because if it's four down and the ball's coming to me, I got to go make a play. So when I go back and assess it, I know Wentz has got people in his face. They went cover zero three straight times. I just got to get open quicker.
Looked like you thought you had a first down on one of the plays where you didn't convert on the fourth down. I feel like on the third down play, a little bit, you're closer.
So that was Jordan Matthews just going over the play and obviously other things as well. And the thing that I really like about what he said is it's called accountability. As the guy who's looked upon as the leader of that receiving group and as Carson Wentz's primary target, he said that it was on him. Now, obviously, there were a combination of things that went into that route not working. I mean, of course, you want the ball thrown a little bit more upfield or over the inside shoulder and not faded like towards the corner of the end zone like it was. However, as Matthew said, when he released, you know, he stepped on the DB's toes and he wanted to turn and locate the ball a little bit quicker, and if he was able to do that, possibly he could fade to it. But it just, you know, sometimes things just don't work out. I thought it was interesting how they had that play set up, because underneath you had Nelson Aguilar running that slant to kind of take that cornerback out of the pitcher. And with that being said, I actually drew up a couple options that I thought maybe they could have checked to. I want to talk to them, some of the receivers and the quarterback tomorrow, and just to see if this is something that they have in their playbook. But nevertheless, I drew it up. I put it on the eagleswire.usatoday.com, so you could check that out. Basically, I was looking at a smash combo. I remember in college when we had that type of coverage, you know, it was one of those things where you have to trust the receiver to beat the man. You know, you see you have man coverage, and obviously actually, as Jordan Matthews explained, you had cover zero, so you have an all-out blitz. But when you look at that, so basically what happened, right, on that play, they were rushing seven, dropping four. And you had three receivers in routes and three defensive backs covering, and you had the single high. So if you look at that play, you had Dorial Green Beckham on the left side, and he got an inside release and ran right up the seam at the safety. And then you have Jordan Matthews running, as you know, the slot fade. And then, as we mentioned, Aguilar had the slant. So basically what happened in that situation, you're given that safety. He has to make up his mind what he's going to do. And ultimately, the safety determines where Wentz was going to go with the football. So we had something in college that we called a smash combo. And, I mean, that's a general term. It basically is hitch corner, you know, hitch on the outside, corner route on the inside. But those are the type of combinations that will work against that type of defense. It's just a matter of trusting your guys not to get jammed. So basically, the guy on the outside, he would run either a slant or preferably the hitch to keep the cornerback honest. And then you have the slot guy running the corner route. You cannot get jammed by your man, because that's going to take the quarterback's eyes right off you. So you have to get that release, get upfield. Boom, lean to the post and explode to the corner route. And chances are that safety is not going to be able to get from middle of the field to outside of the hash, which is where you typically want to run your corner. So that's one of the plays that they could have went to, the smash combo. Then you also have the rub routes, and that's something else they could have went to. And, you know, don't mind my voice. I get excited when I talk about this, because, I mean, this is I love the receiver position, and it's fun to talk about. So I'm sorry if I'm coming across like I'm yelling, but, you know, it's just emotion, excitement, adrenaline. I love it. So just looking at this real quick, you could also go to what they call the rub routes. And you guys saw that watching the game. You saw what the Giants did to get Odell Beckham Jr. free on that slant. They did it often where you had the guy on the Beckham's running a slant from the outside, and then you got the guy running the speed out, you know, from the slot position. Well, in this case, the top read would actually be the reverse. You have Matthews as your initial read, and he's running that speed out, or like that quick corner route, and then you have Aguilar running the slant. And what you're hoping to find is a little bit of traffic there when the routes cross, and that will allow the DBs to get tangled up. It should free Matthews up on the outside. That's the key. You're trying to get him freed up so he can catch the football. And on that type of play, you could always boot the quarterback out. And here's the thing. When you're booting the quarterback, you're trusting your right tackle to make his block. But if you notice on that play, you got Darren Sproles to the left-hand side. And when they motion Sproles to Wentz's left, one or the other, I think it's 33, the safety, he comes down and he has that backside blitz. So in that case, what you're doing, you're booting Wentz away from where the blitz is coming. But in addition to that, you have Matthews running that quick corner or that speed out, and you still have the opportunity to throw the football to him, let him make a play and get into the end zone. And again, you have that backside route, that seam route, that should cause the safety to hesitate. I think in that situation, the safety would be more likely to stay with the seam route. So that gives Matthews an opportunity to get you some yards after the catch and the game-winning touchdown. So that's one way that play could happen. At the same time, you know, if the safety in either of those situations jumps the corner route or jumps the speed out, you have the seam on the backside. So those are just some ways that play could have worked. Hey, it's water under the bridge at this point. However, I think that situation could definitely arise again in the future. And when it does, they have to be prepared to be able to execute and make that happen. It's something that they did earlier in the season. As you heard, one of the guys had asked Matthews if that was the same play that he scored on against the Browns. And that was their first touchdown of the year. And it was, in fact, the same play, just on the left side. If you notice on that play, Matthews was able to fade a little bit quicker. It was a little bit more of a bang-bang type of situation where he turned and he located the ball quicker. So, hey, as far as the blame's concerned, I mean, I'm not going to place it on Wentz. I'm not going to place it on Matthews. They just couldn't connect, and that's what happens sometimes. So there's your show, folks. I appreciate you tuning in. I'm Teron Davenport. You're not going to get this anywhere else. You will not get this anywhere else. Your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, the Locked On Eagles podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom. Follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, TheEaglesWire.USAToday.com.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.